Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and you know what that means. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe there's something you heard live streaming with your church or in a Bible study online or whatever it might be, and you're scratching your head, wondering about it, looking for that grace-based perspective, well, that is exactly why we're here for the next half hour for you. So go for it. Give us a call. Wide open lines, very little wait right now, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener who's already called in the past, but you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, 877-655-6755. Open lines, three open lines right now, plenty of room, so go for it right now. Well, just a reminder, we have our new ebook available on our Facebook page. If you've not yet visited our Facebook page, well, we invite you to join the more than 1.1 million followers on Facebook who have access to this free ebook called Is the Coronavirus a Judgment from God? I don't know if you've been hearing this, but it's all over social media, all over the airwaves. Popular pastors, preachers, leaders, speakers are saying in some way or another that God brought this, that God is doing this, that this is God's judgment. And we don't believe that. We believe there's good scriptural grounds to argue that this is indeed from a fallen world and that God is our comforter and counselor in the midst of all of this, and that this is not punishment levied upon the world. God's desire right now is to save people, not to punish them. So we've got this ebook. It's an awesome resource. We want to put it into your hands for free. You can get it on our Facebook page. There's a link there. We've got it pinned at the top of our Facebook page at facebook.com/drandrewfarley. Again, that's facebook.com/drandrewfarley, or just do a search for my name and you'll find it easily on Facebook. Again, the book is called Is Coronavirus a Judgment from God? It's a free download. It's a free ebook. It's a short, easy read. I think you're going to love it. It's going to help you communicate the love and grace of God to those around you. Go to our Facebook page to download it today. All right, let's go now to Woodstock, Illinois, and we'll talk with Greg. Hey, Greg, what do you got for us tonight, sir?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Excuse me. I understand, well, there's the three gospel accounts where Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I understand that really describes the salvation experience and how we come to Christ and are crucified with him. But Luke adds another word in there, and I wonder if you can explain it to me. He says that you have to take up your cross daily.
Right.
And so I'm just wondering how that fits in with the other gospel narratives, if you can just give me some insight on that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, that's why there's been a little bit of suspicion around that, wondering if it's in the original manuscripts or not. There's debate about that. If you look on the web at a number of resources, you might find a little discussion on that. But either way, here's the way I look at it. I mean, we may not know about that little detail until heaven, but here's the way I look at it. You open the New Testament, and the Bible tells us time and time again to wake up every day and count yourself dead to sin, count yourself alive to God, and that you already took a journey to the cross. I mean, we don't need to know for certain about this word daily in Luke chapter 9 because we have Galatians 2:20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, past tense. We don't need to know for certain about a single word in Luke 9 if we have Romans chapter 6, our old self was crucified with him, past tense. We don't need to know about a particular word in Luke 9 for certain if we've got Colossians chapter 2 that says we died, past tense, we died with Christ. And then finally, we do know what we're supposed to do daily. The Apostle Paul tells us to count ourselves dead to sin and count ourselves alive. That doesn't sound like we need to die again. We just need to count ourselves alive. We don't need to hang on a cross again spiritually. We need to count ourselves dead to sin. And then we don't need to raise up out of that tomb again spiritually. We need to count ourselves as being alive. So there's a big difference there in a very morbid theology that says a little something like this. God loves you. God accepts you. God thinks you are awesome, but you got to die. You're going to have to die today, and God's going to put you through death today. Well, that's not really true. I mean, I heard that message in one form or another over the years, and it's very morbid. It's very ugly. The new self does not need to die. The new creation does not need to be torn down or torn apart or broken. We're even using this word broken wrongly today, it seems to me. We're bragging about how broken we are, and the Bible teaches us that as new creations, we're whole, that we're complete, that we have everything we need for life and godliness. So I would love it if we, as the body of Christ, would reconsider the word broken and how we're using it. Yes, the flesh is a broken way. Yes, the world is broken, but we're not broken. We're made whole in Christ. And you say, but I'm so weak sometimes. Well, yeah, Paul said that. Paul said we glory in our weaknesses. He also said we live by faith. So I think it's perfectly accurate to say that believers in Jesus Christ are weak and we are dependent. We are living by faith in Jesus who indwells us, and we can glory in our weaknesses, but that's very different from saying we're broken, we're torn down, we need to die, God's killing us. No, we're created as dependent beings. I mean, Adam was a dependent being, and he was perfect. We are dependent beings. And we've been made perfect by one offering, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. So my point here is that we don't necessarily have to know exactly how Luke 9 was originally phrased. We've already got Matthew. We've already got the gospel accounts for this idea as a whole. And then we've got the entirety of the New Testament in our favor, whether it's Galatians 2 or Colossians 2 or Romans 6. We have been presented with a picture of our dying at salvation, our dying with Christ, and we see what our daily job is, if you will. We are called to wake up every day, count ourselves dead to sin, count ourselves alive to God, but we don't have to kill ourselves spiritually or wait for God to kill us. He already took us to the cross. He already raised us to newness of life. If we want to describe this transformation, let's call it being rooted and built up in Him. Let's call it the renewing of the mind. But let's not call it God breaking us, God tearing us down, God crushing us into a fine powder, or any of that nonsense, because it really doesn't depict the way that God the Father and God the Spirit are interacting with us as new creations. We're not two people. We're not the old self and the new self. We're not a new creation and an old creation. You're only one person in there. You're a child of God, holy, righteous, blameless. So God has no need to put you on a cross again. He already did that. He is not tearing down the new creation. He is not crucifying the new creation. He is not breaking the new creation. He is establishing you and building you up in Him. So, Greg, I hope that's encouraging to you, my friend, as you think about your relationship with the Lord and your new nature, who you are in Christ. And please call us back anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, that number, 877-655-6755. Let's go now to Buffalo, New York, and we'll talk with Don. Hey, Don.
Hey, Pastor. Hey, I'm a first-time caller. It's good
Great.
To talk to you. I listen to you often at WDCX here in Buffalo.
Fantastic.
Hey, my question is, I've been a firm believer of gospel and the resurrection of Jesus for about 30 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, in between there, I've gotten myself involved in some sin, heavy sin. And only recently, since I've been in the house like everybody else, I've been studying Scripture, and I'm finding myself, as I read a lot of the New Testament, I find myself condemned pretty much for things that I've done, and I'm kind of like at a loss here.
Do you have an example of maybe the category of stuff we're talking about, or even a Scripture that you read that really bothered you?
There's a couple of different ones. I think it's the Hebrews 6, the sin unto death, and I never knew you, depart from me.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
7, I think, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's three questions in one. I guess we've got resources online where you can check out some of this. But first of all, you know, sin is never going to fulfill you. I don't know what we're talking about here, whether we're talking about a lust issue, whether we're talking about an anger issue or something completely different. I don't know what we're talking about, Don, but I mean, the bottom line is everything I was just talking about. If you're the new self, if you died with Christ, if you rose with him, if you've got a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature, if you're united with Christ, then the reality is you don't want to sin. And that takes people by surprise. They wrestle with that. They reject that. They call that, you know, inaccurate and all these sorts of things. But the Bible says that you're a slave of righteousness. It says he took out your heart of stone. He gave you a new heart, a righteous heart. Romans 6 calls it an obedient heart. So your heartfelt desires involve obedience. Your desire is to obey. You don't really want to sin. The flesh wants to sin. The world wants you to sin. The power of sin wants you deceived. But I'm talking about you, Don. I'm talking about who you are as a new creation in Christ. God has made you with new desires, and sin will never work for you. Now, as far as these things that are scaring you, I mean, Hebrews chapter 6 is a warning to Hebrew people. It's a warning to people who have not made up their mind about Messiah. And the threat there is punishment. The threat there is, hey, you need to change your mind about who Messiah is. Otherwise, you're not going to find any hope in the Jewish temple. You're not going to find any hope in the sacrifice of animals. You're not going to find any hope in the law, because the hope is in Jesus. And so Hebrews chapter 6 is an evangelistic appeal to those Hebrews who are riding the fence and they haven't made up their minds about Christ. But you have already decided to believe. You've already put your faith in Jesus. You already have your hope in his death, burial, and resurrection. So at that point, you're reading someone else's mail. I mean, you are eavesdropping on a conversation that doesn't involve you. And sometimes that's the case with Scripture. Somebody says, no, everything is written to Christians. Well, everything might be written and handed to Christians in a letter, but not everything is about Christians. I mean, there's plenty of passages where Peter, Paul, James, John, and the author of Hebrews are interested in evangelism. I mean, you can't tell me that they don't have an evangelistic heart. You can't tell me that Paul doesn't say, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I mean, he wants people to come to salvation. And that's what Hebrews chapter 6 is a classic example of, a warning of unbelief for unbelievers. It's not intended to scare Christians. As far as the sin unto death, that also is unbelief. It's not suicide, like some people say. And it's also just saying don't pray for that kind of sin. You can't pray someone into belief. You can't force someone into accepting Christ. So it's talking about whether to pray or not pray. That's the context of the sin leading unto death. And so we can't pray people into the kingdom. Finally, your third concern and fear was depart from me. Well, the next line is, I never knew you. So this is not loss of salvation. This is a person who never knew Jesus, and Jesus never knew them. But Don, if you've put your faith in Christ, then you do know the Lord, and he does know you, and his promise to you and me is, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and nobody can snatch you out of my hand. So that's the promise we have in Christ. I want to put you back on, Don, and I want to see if getting clarification on these things has helped you so far.
Okay.
Yeah, does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
I just feel like, you know, if you sin too much, Jesus will reject me. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, well, let me do this for you, because everybody wrestles with that. I mean, you know, we say, if I sin too much, and he says, I'll never leave you. And you say, what if I sin too much, and he says, I'll never forsake you. And then you say, but yeah, Lord, you don't understand. What if I sin too much? And he says, sins? What sins? I remember your sins no more. And you say, Lord, you don't understand. What if I sin too much? And he says, no, I've removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And you say, Lord, but yeah, you're not getting it. What if I sin a lot? And he says, blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not take into account. And on it goes, this wrestling match with, am I going to make a bigger deal out of my sins or out of my Savior? Which is going to capture my attention? Am I going to be obsessed with the size of my sins, or am I going to be obsessed with the size of my Savior? And, you know, it's amazing. I can preach the cross and resurrection for 80 years and probably will. If I'm alive that long, and as long as I live, and as long as anyone is out there communicating the gospel, we are continually going to butt up against this issue. Somebody's going to say, isn't the cross great? And then 5 minutes later, but Lord, I sin a lot. You don't understand. But isn't the cross great? But Lord, I struggle a lot. I mean, a lot, Lord. And isn't the cross great? But Lord, my sins are big. I mean, I've looked at pornography. Lord, I have struggled with lust. Lord, I told a lie. Lord, I blew up at my kids. Lord, you don't understand. My sins are huge. And his answer would be, are your sins huge, or is the cross huge? Are your sins huge, or is my power to take away your sins huge? Which is going to captivate you? And that's the struggle that every person has. Are we going to be obsessed about all the things we've done, or are we going to be obsessed with what Christ has done? So hang on the line there, Don. I tell you what, I'm going to get you a book. It's called Twisted Scripture, and it's going to help you really untangle a lot of the lies out there about the forgiveness that you have, about the security that you have, and about the identity that you have in Jesus Christ. So we're going to get this to you in Buffalo, New York. Hang on there, and we'll send it your way. Well, if you want a copy of Twisted Scripture, you can get your own copy on Amazon.com. It's available right now. It'll be at your door in just a few days. And, well, doesn't it seem like a great time to sit around the house, oh, I don't know, quarantined, kick your feet up and get into the message of the gospel and be rooted and grounded in God's grace like never before? If you're interested in doing that, well, there's no better time, and you can get a copy of this book, Twisted Scripture, on Amazon.com. All right, let's go now to Ocala, Florida, and we'll talk with Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, brother, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? What do you got for us?
I am delivering pizza.
All right. Well, I'll take a pepperoni, a sausage and pepperoni, a thick crust, if you don't mind.
I understand. You want a nice pan pizza. Sorry about that, my brother, but my boss wouldn't pay me to drive it there.
I understand. All right. Well, then go ahead with your question.
Okay. The other night, I listened to SiriusXM, and I bounce around between 131 and 76. and a gentleman called in, and you really gave him some sound advice. Mm-hmm. And the situation is somewhat similar to mine. I have a friend, the pastor of a church, a little church here in Ocala, and we had been at this one church for 11 years, my wife and I. And, you know, I've been licensed to preach the gospel since 2004, and I've been an ordained deacon since 2004. And after we moved to the church, he and I and his wife and my wife, we all sat down, had a good lunch, about 3 hours, and we talked, and well, the subject never came up. Sunday, and life really got hurt over it. Both of us, this is not our first marriage. The 16th, we'll be married 32 years. Hmm. And we've been together 34.
Wow. Okay, Bob, let me tell you, I got to jump in here. I got 2 minutes, and I think I've got a handle on what your concern is. Let's do this. Can we do this? Let's put our confidence in Christ on this one. I mean, you know, you've been married for 3 decades. Are we going to get another divorce? Are we going to go backwards and try to find the first lady and see if she'll get back with us and then maybe we'll be okay? I mean, I've seen people do that dance. I've seen people try those mental gymnastics to try to get right and stay right with God. You talked about your licensing. You talked about your ordination. You talked about being a deacon. I mean, none of that matters to God, quite frankly. I mean, it's not your license. It's the cross. It's not your ordination. It's the resurrection. It's not your service as deacon. It's his service on the cross with blood all over him. So you're qualified. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says he has qualified you as a minister of the new covenant. He doesn't say you're qualified if you've never been married before. He says you're qualified. He has qualified us as a minister of the new covenant. So your testimony is your testimony, and he knows it, and he's living with you in the present. He's not asking you to rewind 30 years ago. You are not right with God because of your marital status. You are right with God because of the cross and the resurrection. You are right with God because Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and rose from the dead to give you new life, and it's the gift of righteousness. And as far as, you know, the qualifications for deacon, I mean, if that's what we're concerned about, husband of one wife, well, you are the husband of one wife. To my knowledge, in your situation, you haven't described that you're into polygamy. You don't have two wives or three wives. It's been 30 years plus that you're married to your wife. I mean, are we going to say that the cross worked and then dig back 3 decades into your history and find something to disqualify you from serving today? I mean, that's a total contradiction. Bob, Jesus Christ hung on a cross for your sins, but 30 years ago you did something that wasn't quite right. You had some wrong motives in your divorce. You got mad. You separated. You did some unloving things. So 30 years later, you can't serve. I mean, really? Really? We're going to adopt the message of the cross, that Jesus took away our sins, that he remembers our sins no more, that he doesn't take them into account, except a divorce 30 years ago. That's the exception. Do you see? Do you see? It's the same issue over and over and over for all of us. The accuser comes along and says, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're not pure enough, you're not clean enough, you're not qualified enough. We can dig into your file drawer and find something against you. And then you ask the Holy Spirit about it, and he says, file drawer? There is no file drawer. I destroyed that years ago. Your sins and lawless acts I remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, No more sacrifice for sins is needed. It worked the first time.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.